This morning we are starting a new series called Community, and we're about three things here at Christ Community, and that is Jesus, community, and mission. And so we want to be a Jesus-formed people, a people who've been formed by Him, who've come to understand what Christ has done in His life and His death and His resurrection and how He died to create a people. A people is you and me. And so we want to look through the next 3 weeks through this way of thinking through what is real community and how do we grow in community. So there's three simple statements we want to have to summarize, to begin to form our thoughts about how we will be a Jesus community, and that is through grow, connect, and renew. And so this week we're going to look at grow and see how is community essential to your growth. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, grab them and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and then we're going to switch over to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning as we come and consider what it means to be part of the family of God. And Father, we have this individualistic streak in us that seeks to live our own way and be our lone rangers. And Lord, we are robbing ourselves and robbing the greater community. And Lord, this morning we pray that You would expose our sins, that You expose our hearts, You expose our failures to come us once, bring us once anew to the cross of Christ, to find the reconciliation, the hope, the joy, the forgiveness that is offered in Him, and that would spill over into every aspect of our life, especially as we do life together. So Lord, speak to us now, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt stunned? Ever seen someone who's kind of like the Webster, the Gary Coleman of life? You know, just kind of get stuck at this one time, at this one age, at this one part of their life. And I think if we all look at our lives, there are moments, and maybe you're in that moment now, where you're just stuck. You're stunted. That if you were a spiritual child, you were at the same place you were at 5 years ago. And one of the things living in the individualistic culture we live in is that there's this thing that we think that we can kind of dabble at community. We can kind of dabble at following Jesus. And yet we keep on wondering why we aren't growing. And what we want to see this morning is see how God has intended us to grow and what is the soil, what is the pot, what is the context in which real growth will happen. And so we're going to talk this morning about bonsai Christianity. Of course, I've got a prop. Some of you were thinking, man, Phil's really going overboard in the props this morning. VBS is going to be awesome. So if you aren't signed up, make sure you come here, tell your friends, neighbors, whatever. This is not a bonsai, but it kind of looks like one. I had a hard time finding one, so I stole T's, Tristan's. So imagine this is a real bonsai, and I got a picture of a real one to kind of see what it is. And basically, they're these miniature trees. And how a bonsai works is they go and they place it in a very, very shallow pot. A pot that is about 20% of the whole size of the tree. And the whole idea is to put it in a constricting environment in which its roots can only go so deep and it can only grow so much. And if you begin to look at your life as a plant, as a tree, you've got to begin asking yourself, what are you planting yourself in? You are here this morning. So by default, you got a little pot. That kind of sounded a little weird. But anyway, you never know what I'm going to say up here. I'm just saying. It just comes out. And there's that you're just this little pot by coming here on a Sunday morning. And for many of us, we're content with that. And just like this bonsai tree, what is happening is that our roots can only go so deep. And we can only grow so much. And so for many of you, the reason why you feel so stunted in your life is because you were merely skimming the surface of community. You've planted yourself in a very shallow pot because you don't want to get into the messiness of relationship. You don't want to get into the messiness of being at the broader church. And we all know the reasons why so many people don't go to church. We all know how unappealing churches can be, right? There's some not so pleasant things you've heard about in churches. And so some of it makes us a little sheepish when it comes to really getting involved. Some of you maybe come from broken homes that made you very wary about getting into a marriage because you saw it go so badly. And so kind of like that same mindset many of us have seen, how so often church community can be seem so rough that we kind of keep on the side and say, I'll just kind of be a consumer. And I want to see how we move from consumers to communers. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is pointing us to how God has created us to grow. That we are to grow in the context of community. That the church is the greenhouse of real growth. Relationships are the key to real true spiritual health and vitality. If you want to grow, you can't just skim. You can't just have this small little pot. You got to get a big pot. You got to get a big thing in which to root yourself so you can grow deep and that your tree can grow and to flourish. And so one of the things we want to see is that healthy community breeds healthy followers of Christ. Paul is pointing us to this grand reality that we need one another. We all think we're independent. We celebrate as Americans. We all think that we don't really need that many people. But God has weaved into the very fabric of humanity the necessity of our need for one another. And when it comes to growth, it is no different. You think about, if you're to grow in love, what does love necessitate? Can you do it by yourself? Love demands another. If we're to grow in love, what do we need? Another. We need one another. In the early centuries of Christianity, as we look to the beginning of the monastic movement, many thought that our way to grow was to get away from everything else. You ever thought that? If I get away from these kids, my job, and everything else, then I could really get serious. Then I could really grow. And they tried that. And it was interesting how certain monasteries began to see that this did not work. That true growth could not happen in isolation. It could only happen in community. And that is the very thing Paul is striking at in Ephesians chapter 4. And there are several things that I want us to see this morning of how we really grow, how we grow as a people, how we grow as individuals, how we grow as a community. And so the first thing is that growing people, growing communities, spend time together. All right, this is really, really simple. All right, one of my jokes about us as Christ community, if you're a regular attender, you show up once a month. You're like, oh no, he got me. Is that there's this aspect of our community life that we kind of let other things get in the way. And for some of you, the reason why you feel stuck, you feel you don't really feel a part of the family, you only show up once a month. In Hebrews chapter 4, what we hear from the writer of Hebrews, he says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What he's saying is you need to spend time together. All right, if you only talk to your spouse once a month for an hour, is there going to be intimacy in your marriage? No, thank you. One guy got it. He's like, what's wrong with that? That's what I do right now. 1 hour a month, honey, 1 hour. That intimacy takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not just all of a sudden you go, I mean, you ever get somebody who goes like, says, I love you like this? You everyone date that person? Were you that person? It's like, you just met them, you go, I love you. You're like, whoa, back of the train, back of the train. It takes time. It takes time. You need to spend time together. And that is why the writer of Hebrews is so critical, and Paul is saying that you got to spend time together. You got to be together. You got to live life together. You got to worship together. You got to feed together. You got to do these things together. I mean, that's what we find in Acts chapter 2. They're eating, they're studying, they're celebrating, they're partying, they're doing all these things together in community. And so what I want to challenge you this morning is to look at what does your priorities look like? If anything else in the world always trumps spending time with other lovers of Jesus, you will not grow. So if it's always sports, if it's always the job, if it's always the weekend retreat, if it's always these things and they are continually, consistently happening, all right, I'm all for vacation. I'm all to enjoy these things. Believe me, Phil is not against these things. But what I'm saying is that you can't grow as a person. We can't grow as a community unless we spend time together. And the first step is worshiping together. We need one another. I need you. You need me. We need to sing together. We need to hear and listen to God together. We need to just spend time rubbing shoulders with one another. And we find that this is only the beginning. As we look to the fall, one of the things that we are looking to begin is our new format of community groups. And what these are these small communities we want you to connect in. That you get to be with other people to see how do we do life together? How do we spend time together with Jesus at the center? So whether we're partying, whether we're serving, whether we're studying, whether we're hanging out, whatever we do, we're bringing Jesus to bear on that situation and that we're getting to understand really what it means to live like a family, to live as a community. You see, what I want you to begin seeing is Sunday morning is just the beginning. We want to be meeting scattered throughout all this community throughout the week. We want you to party together and to have friends, neighbors, people who don't know Jesus, be in the context of a family, of a group of individuals who love one another despite their faults. Some of the reason why that concerns you is, number one, you kind of get those weird Bible study awkward moments, you know, where you just think we sit around singing Kumbaya and you're sharing your most inmost, deepest, darkest secrets. And that, like, you guys are like, that freaks me out. I mean, I can sit through the horror movies, but that terrifies me. But others of you are like, I don't want to get that close to anyone because I don't want to see their junk and I don't want them to see mine. I don't want to commit. You can't grow if you don't commit to one another in relationship. And so I want to challenge you this morning to begin saying, God, would you show me how I can begin committing, how I can come and gather and connect with people who love Jesus so that I can grow to love him more and that I can go reach my friends, my neighbors who don't know him. And the cool thing is we'll talk about how we engage community and how community is so essential to that, is this. You have friends. You've got neighbors. And sometimes you can't always hit on all levels. You don't understand what they're going through. See, what's great about having a community of followers and lovers of Jesus is we make up for our deficiencies. So you've been through something I haven't. And I got a friend who just went through something. I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to minister them. And so I come to you and say, hey, Sally, our neighbor Jane, she is really, really in need, and she's been going through this. I know you shared your story with us and said that you've gone through some similar things. Could I connect you guys? So you're able to serve. You're able to grow as a community, and so we have to spend time together. And so what I want to challenge you is begin looking at your schedule and see where are your priorities. And say, am I letting everything else get in the way of this? Am I beginning to open up my schedule so that I can spend time beyond a Sunday morning with other people who love Jesus? And so we're going to try to be very delicate as we set this up. We don't want to go and say all of a sudden, all right, they want us 4 days a week. All right, we're going to try and make this. We're like twice a month, all right? Two times a month, we want to gather you at least. If you want to meet more than that, awesome. But at least we want you twice a month gathering in community to hang out, to know one another, because often what happens is we see community when everything falls apart. And if you haven't done the hard work beforehand, you come and you're like, there seems sometimes there's no one there. And one of the things what I did back in youth ministry, sometimes you may wonder, why do all those youth pastors do these crazy things with these kids? You know why? To build relationships. Because when they have that relationship, when life goes hard, all of a sudden we have that connection, so they come to you. And so if you think you may not be going through a hard time right now, but you will. And right now someone else is going through a hard time and they need you. They need you to walk alongside them. They need you to encourage them. They need you. You see, when we won't commit to community, what happens is not only do we rob ourselves, we rob one another. And so we need to spend time with one another. Max Lucado said this, "Questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding, yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. And when you interlock your understanding with mine and we share our discoveries, when we mix, we mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks." See, growing people, growing communities spend time together. Second, growing people, growing communities receive together. In Ephesians 4, the first thing that he is pointing out in verses 11 to 16 is this giving of this teaching community. He's giving us prophets, apostles, preachers, pastors, teachers. He has given these things to grow us in our understanding of Jesus. And so one of the things about being a part of a community that spends time together, we spend time together learning together, seeing, show me more of who God is, show me more of who Jesus is. And the reason why that is so necessary is, who are we growing and maturing to look like? Jesus. That we would receive the stature of Christ, that we would mature in Christ-likeness. And so if you want to become and look like someone, you've got to know who that someone is. And so that's why we talk so much around here about Jesus, because the only way you're going to come to look like Jesus is to learn who Jesus is, to experience who he is. And so we will beat the drum of Jesus week in, week out, because that is how you will mature. You will grow in your understanding of God, of the God of the gospel will make you, grow you to look more like Jesus. And so we need to learn. And what we find here, we find several levels. The prophets and the apostles, the ones who have spoken, who have been the mouthpieces of God to give us the word of God. And so the first thing we need to do is we need to learn together by studying this, by listening to this. I know some of you aren't readers. I know many of you are readers. All right, one, if you don't have a Bible, we've got those in the back free for you. Take one, please. Number two, if you have a smartphone, who has a smartphone? They have apps for that. I'm serious. They have an app for that. It's called YouVersion. And what you can do is you can sign up on YouVersion. You'll see on the slides and before our services, what they have is that you have all these different translations. You have a reading plan. So if you want to say, I want to start small and I want to read the book of Mark, the smallest gospel. And it'll just set you up every day. First day, click. And know what? For those of you who aren't readers, it reads it to you. You have no excuse. This is the way you got a few minutes in the car. All right, do this before you start driving. All right, so not like someone I know, while he's driving, hitting the button saying, play. And so as you're riding along the road, you can listen wherever you are. You can hear the word of God and listen to it. All right, so my challenge, you got a smartphone? Get the app. Start listening. Find ways to hear and hear from the word of God. But not only does it stop there, it goes on to point to pastors, teachers. The necessity of coming in week in, week out to see those men have been set apart by God to teach and proclaim and help explain the Word of God. And so not only do you need the Bible as you come and you sift through it, as you read it and experience them through it, you come together to hear from those who have been trained and set apart so that I can understand it more, so that I can grow in it. And so central in the community is learning together. You know, as you look to the Old Testament, when it spoke about the people of God, often it spoke of the Dabar house, the word house. That what we understand is we're people of the book, people of the word of God. When God created the heavens and earth, how did he create it? By his word. In John chapter 1, we find, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is who? The word is Jesus, the revelation of God. So the Word of God, the revealing God, is central. We must be a learning people. We must receive the Word of God together. Third, a growing people, growing communities provoke one another. You're like, I know true Christians are really good at that. We know how to push buttons. But what we find here in Hebrews is that we are stirring one another up for good deeds. And what we're doing is we're pushing the Jesus button in your life. Do you got someone like that in your life? Just push the Jesus button. Provokes you. And what they provoke you is they provoke you to want more of Him. They provoke you to live it out more. There is a son-in-law of a couple in here who I go out with every once in a while. His name's Andrew. And Andrew, he's crazy. Crazy! I love him because he's crazy. And every time I'm with him, what he makes me want to do is he makes me want to know Jesus more. Like he just says these things, and I'm like, that's crazy. But he's pushing my Jesus button. He's pushing the buttons in me to say, man, that may sound crazy, but man, I want it. I want it. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that you need people in your life to press the Jesus button, to stir you up to love and good deeds, to stir you up to want more of Him. And guess what? That doesn't happen in isolation, does it? You need some provoking. You need people to push your buttons. And how we do that is in two ways. First, in our words, and second, in our deeds. In Ephesians 4:15, we read this. We read, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. You see, we've got to speak the truth in love. This past week, God just wrecked me. He wrecked me. I was reading a work by Jonathan Edwards, and he's not the crazy psycho reader. You know what, John Edwards, the guy with the TV show, talks to dead people, that guy. All right, not that guy. So you're like, oh, wait. All right, and not the kind of like filthy politician, neither one of those. Another one. Jonathan Edwards was this preacher during the First Great Awakening in the 1800s, and was used mightily of God in this huge movement as people were coming to know Jesus and be changed by Him. And he was in New England, and as these revivals, these awakenings were popping up at church after church after church all around him, whole communities coming to Jesus, he said the one major thing that would stop these movements of God with spiritual pride. And at first I'm like, yeah! And he's speaking of those who were those in the legalist and those who were against the movement and these ones who had such spiritual pride that they knew better that this could not be the work of God. And I was, amen. And then he said, and then there was those in the movement who loved it so much but began to have spiritual pride in their own sense that they were better than the other guys. I have to tell you, when I read that, there was just conviction of the Holy Spirit. In this moment that God spoke to me, says, the biggest thing to keep from what God is doing here, Phil, is you. It's spiritual pride in your own heart. And one of the things he connects with spiritual pride is critical words. Something churches and church people are really good at, right? Criticism. We criticize one another. We criticize the services. We criticize everything around us. Do you ever see in the New Testament a call for the people of God to be critical of one another? It's like teaching your kid to lie. Don't need to do it. Just happens. And what you find the author of Hebrews and of Ephesians, Paul, saying is encourage one another as long as it's called today. Speak the truth in love. Build up. Don't tear down. What are the things coming out of your lips? What are your words revealing about your heart? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there's a temptation for every one of us to be critical of something and someone else who loves Jesus. I'm guilty. And I don't want to be that way. I've been repenting all week of my spiritual pride. I am better than no one. The chief sinner in this room is me. I am the biggest problem in this church. And what I long for us is a people so consumed with Jesus, so consumed with good news, and so in tune with the reality that we are on a mission. And there is a real battle and a real war that seeks to destroy us, a real villain. And what we need more than anything else is every day is encouragement to one another. What motivates you? Blasting everything about you, does it motivate you? If you're blasting everything around you of what others do, are you growing? No. What is the biggest thing that will kill movements of God is spiritual pride in our hearts, and that works itself out in our critical words. And what I want to ask you this morning is to join in me praying for one another, that we would grow to be great encouragers of one another. That we would speak truth and love, that we would encourage one another every day and say, are the words of my lips coming out, are they encouraging? Are they building up? Are they tearing down? You want to see change in your marriage? Change your spouse? Guess what? Critiquing them constantly isn't going to help. Some of you tried that. Didn't work. But start speaking words of grace and encouragement. And change can happen. Growth can happen. And so how do we provoke one another? We provoke one another for our words. This week, I want you to find some other follower of Jesus. Maybe it's your spouse, a child, maybe a friend, a neighbor. I want you to provoke them. I want you to push their button. Push their Jesus button to see, I want to see them love Jesus more. I want to encourage them. I want them to say, I know you're growing weary. Man, I want you to get energized. Energized by my words to you. When the great Puritan John Flavel said, it's much easier to expose 10,000 sins in others than to kill one of your own. And so may we, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And for those of you who are doing that, thank you. Keep it up. You're making a difference in the lives around you. And see, how also do we provoke one another indeed? Charles Spurgeon used the example of Christians as either Rolling Stone Christians or brick Christians. I'm not saying it's bad to be a Christian who loves Rolling Stones, I do. But what a Rolling Stone Christian is someone who just sits there. What does a stone do in your yard? It sits there. What's a brick supposed to do? Build something. Be a part of a building. He says, so often what happens is Christians, we are that brick who just wants to sit around and say, I'm just as fine sitting here on the ground as I would be in that building. But we all know a brick wasn't meant just to sit there. It was meant to be a part of something. And that brick is integral in the building of the building. And so what you have to understand is God has gifted you uniquely to be a brick in this building, in this family, in this community. And when you are backing away, when you aren't investing, when you aren't committing to be a part, to see movement and see growth happens, we all are devastated and the lesser for it. We need one another to build one another up, to do not merely with our words, but also with our deeds. You know, it's amazing seeing people use their gifts in different ways. I am not an admin guru by any stretch of the imagination. I love people who are. I'm kind of artistic, but not that much. I'll brag a little bit on my wife right now. That plane outside, my wife. She's incredible. Like, just kind of like, hey, honey, what do you think about this idea? And she goes and researches, she puts it together, and it looks great. Well, I love when you just have those gifts and those abilities that are different than our own. And we wouldn't have this cool hanging plane up there if it wasn't for her using her gifts in the context of the community. Well, all of you have that gift. Some of it's organization, some of it's that encouragement, some of it's music. Some of it's like, I'm great with kids. Some of it's like, I'm great with teens. Some of you, it's like, I'm great at just kind of getting to know people. I'm great at evangelizing and inviting people. I'm great at those things. Well, we need you. We've all got to play our part. We are all ministers. Do you understand, according to Peter, that every one of us is a priest? A priesthood of believers. Every member is a minister. Novelist Wendell Berry was walking with a friend, Wes Jackson, and they observed a plot of Maximilian sunflowers. You know what those are? Those really, really, really big sunflowers. And they saw a nearly 10-foot-tall plant native to the Midwest. Wes pointed to one in particular that was growing alone, disconnected from the community of other sunflowers. And he observed that this solo, though much larger and taller than the rest, was clearly not healthy. See, the blossoms were thick and heavy. So when the branches were starting to strain and break under the weight, Berry noted that in one sense the plant had succeeded as a solo plant. It had grown taller than all the rest, but unfortunately had it completely failed because it was not its purpose. See, the purpose of those sunflowers is to grow in community, to grow in the context of the other flowers. He wrote this, he said, "We could say that achieving success solely as an individual was the plant's failure. It had failed because it had lived outside an important part of its definition, which consists of individuality and its community. A part of its healthy potential lay in its community, not just itself. For Wendell Berry, people today are often lonely and isolated because we've lost a simple biblical truth. True health, spiritual, emotional, and physical, true growth is found only in community. And we've forgotten that to speak of the health of an isolated individual is a contradiction in terms." You see, what we need to understand this morning, it is essential to grow, is we need to be in community. Who are you community with? I long to see you grow as a follower of Jesus. I long to see us grow as a community of Jesus. I long to see our community change by such a community that is all about Jesus, showing them what life is really for, where real salvation, forgiveness, hope, joy, identity is found. But it only can happen if we do this together. Will you join me? Will you stop sitting as a stone and become a brick? Will you join me and see that I can't live any longer in isolation and non-commitment, but I got to say, God is working in me here. I've got to be committed. I want to see others to know Him as well. Growth only can happen in community. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And Father, as we think this morning of community, we see of our own failures, our own desire of our sinful hearts to be apart from people, to stay out of the mess of being in relationship with others and to kind of live life our way. But what You've shown us is that is robbing us. It is robbing the greater community. And we were made to live life together, that You've created us not to be lone ragers, but to be a people set apart for Your own possession. And so, Lord, this morning, would You begin to move in us and show us what real community looks like? Would You connect us? Would You begin to find others in this room who we will connect on a deeper level and who will challenge us, who will grow us, and will push our Jesus button? Lord, may we be such a community. We love You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.